Everyone, it's a pleasure to be with you. We want to certainly welcome again all of those who are visiting with us. We do have several who are with us. Several years ago, back in 1982, when Amy and I first got married, we moved out to Pasadena, Texas, just outside of Houston, and I was in a preacher training program there with Dee Bowman. And among those people there at the Southside congregation were Charlie and Mary King. And they're sitting right here in the front row here. And we met them there and were friends with them. And little did we know that we would in the future have a son named Taylor and they would have a daughter named Emily. And those two would ultimately meet and decide to marry. And so they are all here this evening. And I've embarrassed them, I know, right now by pointing them out. But, you know, Emily, if you're going to be in the family, I get to embarrass you. So that's just the way it goes. But certainly it's good to have them with us and hope everyone can get to know them. You know, usually on Sunday evenings, at least it's the practice in my family, and I think with a lot of you, it's the practice to not eat until after services. And that's probably a good thing because I want to show you something tonight as we begin that will gross you out. But it's an interesting proverb. Proverbs 30, verse 15 says, the leech has two daughters. Their names are Give and Give. That's really a neat proverb when you think about it. Because the whole point of that is that there are some people, in fact, all of us, I think, can have this trait from time to time. We're like leeches. And we want people to give to us. It's that gimme, 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 gimme attitude. And we want to be recipients of these gifts, and we want somebody else to give, give, give to us. And so that leech, as gross as that may be to contemplate, that's exactly that philosophy of the leech and the offspring of leeches. We've been talking this morning about the idea of giving. And the idea of receiving gifts and receiving them in a proper way. I want us to think tonight about the opposite of that. In fact, the opposite of this kind of leech, give me, give me, give me attitude. You know, Jesus said on one occasion that we need to think in terms of being on the other side of that gift process. Jesus said, as recorded in Acts 20 and verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And what Jesus was trying to get at is that even though that's contrary to our normal human nature, even though so often we have the attitude of give, give, give to me, instead, Jesus said, we need to fight against that nature and realize that there is a much greater blessing that will come upon us if we have the attitude of the giver and we're seeking to give to other people. We're seeking to be benevolent to other people. And if we're not focused upon ourselves and what we want, but instead on how we can benefit other people, Jesus said, we're actually going to be more blessed. Now, it's a residual benefit. It's not the purpose of why we would give to other people. In fact, if it were our attitude, I'm giving to somebody else just so I can get something from this, then that would defeat the whole purpose of the principle that Jesus is talking about. But as a side benefit, as a residual benefit, that kind of beneficent attitude that seeks to give to others, Jesus says that individual is going to be more blessed. And ultimately, he's talking about, I believe, the blessing that God bestows upon that kind of cheerful giver. So I want to talk with you tonight a little bit about being a proper giver. And I would suggest to you that what happens to us sometimes is that we lose sight of this principle that Jesus was trying to teach, and instead that kind of leech attitude of give me, give me, give me, it tends to slip in there from time to time if we're not careful. So I want to talk with us tonight about being a proper giver and making sure that we're giving with the right kind of attitude and the right kind of motive. I want to suggest to you, first of all, that if we want to be proper givers, we need to expect nothing in return. Expect nothing in return. Have you ever noticed whenever there's some kind of a fundraising effort, whether it's school children who are trying to raise funds for some program at school, or whether it's some corporation trying to raise funds, or whether it's a college or a university that's contacting you and they're seeking funds, that typically what happens is when they give their appeal and ask you to give them funds, they will, in order to sweeten the deal, they will say that if you will give this, then we're going to give you, as a result of your gift, some kind of special plaque, or maybe it's a gift CD, or it's something that you'll get in return for that. And it's all a motivation to try to get people to be more giving. And I think you all know what I'm talking about. What that really is playing upon is our human nature that just wants there to be something that I get out of this if I have to be the giver here. Give me something. Make it worth my while. Isn't that the way that human beings tend to think? Well, Jesus addressed that issue in Luke chapter 6, verses 33 and following. And in typical fashion, Jesus says some things here that are very arresting and surprising and absolute in how he phrases them, and it really grabs our attention. And it really cuts against the grain of how we as human beings normally think. Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 33, beginning, "And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same thing. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And do not pass judgment, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return." I would suggest to you that this is really the long form of Jesus' statement, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Because what Jesus is getting at is that we as human beings need to be different from the way that people in the world so often are, and not just give because we want something in return, and not let whether or not we are going to get something in return govern how beneficent we're going to be. Instead, Jesus says, think about the way God is and how God doles out His gifts. God doles out His gifts to human beings who are ungrateful, who blaspheme His name, and yet He still provides them with things. If we want to be sons of the Most High in heaven, then our attitude needs to be, I'm not going to be so much concerned about whether or not I'm going to get my gift back in return, or whether somebody's going to reciprocate to me. I'm just going to be benevolent to other people and to address the needs of other people and just depend upon God to take care of me. And Jesus' promise is here, God is going to take care of you. And in fact, the point Jesus makes is that if we will be that kind of benevolent person, not expecting something in return, God is going to see that we are abundantly blessed. And we don't need to be concerned about those things. Now, I hasten to point out that Jesus, I don't believe, is somehow saying that it's wrong for us to extend somebody a loan and expect them to pay it back and all that kind of thing. That isn't the idea. But he is addressing this principle of what our attitude is and what our heart is. And we need to have the attitude of mind that if there's somebody who's in need and I can help them, whether I'm going to get anything in return for that or not, I'm going to be there to help that person. That's what Jesus was getting at here. If we want to be proper givers, we need to give expecting nothing in return. That's how we're going to be like God. And I'll tell you something else that we need to think about if we want to be a proper giver. That's to make sure that we're not seeking the praise of men when we give our gifts. And once again, Jesus addresses this, and he addresses it in, once again, a very forceful way, a way that just kind of hits us right in the heart, because we can all relate to what Jesus is trying to correct here. We're all guilty of this kind of thing, even though Jesus uses the Pharisees and the Jews of his day as sort of his example of this. But I think all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we can relate and, in fact, even be convicted by what Jesus says. Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 1, beginning, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." I find this to be a very powerful teaching, a very challenging teaching. Because there's just something about us as human beings, when we do something good, well, we kind of like other people to know about that, don't we? There's a lot of us, you know, when we're talking with somebody about, you know, what's going on in our life, you know, we just kind of happen to just bring up in conversation some person that we did something good for, we gave some money to, was in need, or, you know, this or that we did for the church, or this person and that person. We just kind of throw that out there in the conversation, just kind of subtly make sure that it's included in the conversation. And sometimes it's unconscious, but what we're seeking is for that person that we're talking to just say, "Well, aren't they a good person?" And that's really what the Pharisees were doing. I think Jesus uses a little bit of hyperbole here. I doubt that the Pharisees and the Jews of his day would literally have taken a ram's horn trumpet and blown that so everybody could see, "Okay, I'm going to the temple now, I'm going to be getting my alms." I think he's probably exaggerating a little bit, but I think he's addressing something that was very evident to the people of that day and that society. There were alms boxes inside the court of the women in that temple area. And so as you would bring your money bag, I mean, people could observe you putting money in there. In fact, Jesus was able to observe as a result of that. That widow, if you recall, who put in the mites. And others who were putting in out of their surplus and their riches. Because all of that was a very public kind of thing. And very often, as these Pharisees apparently would be on the street corners, they would be someone who was blind or someone who was lame, and they would be begging for money. And so some rich Pharisee or some rich Jewish person would then stop and maybe just kind of enjoy the fact that people are observing him as he now gives some money to this poor person, and everybody just thinking, "Well, how benevolent he is. What a good person he is." And Jesus is probably addressing something that the Jews of his day never would have thought of as being something that needed moral attention. And yet Jesus thought that it did. He said, yes, you need to beware. Beware. That's a strong term. Be warned about. Here's a danger lurking. Beware of practicing your righteousness in front of men so they can see you. And so that they can just think what a good person you are, and you feel just real good because every eye is on you and everybody thinks you're a good, wonderful person. And so you pat yourself on the back in that way. And Jesus says, those people who engage in that kind of almsgiving, well, they get their reward in full right then and there. In other words, Jesus' point is, God's not pleased with them. God's not going to give them some great credit for that. The full extent of their reward for that is, yeah, there's people that are going to be looking there thinking, boy, isn't he or she a great person? And yet God's not thinking that. So, okay, if this person out there, if their opinion of you is what really is important to you, and you want them to think of you as a good person, okay, keep it up. And they'll think that of you probably, but God one day is going to let you know, I'm not pleased with you, never was. Because your giving was just for your benefit. Your motive wasn't a pure and proper motive. You were just giving to get something for yourself. You wanted the praise of men. And Jesus says, you don't need to be like that. You know, this is one of those teachings of Jesus. It amazes me how many people and who would speak of themselves certainly as Christians and institutions who very often will speak of themselves as an institution that is in some way dedicated to the principles of Christianity. It's amazing to me how many of those people and those institutions completely ignore the principle of this passage. Because you know what is so common? Again, when you're trying to get people to give money to your organization or whatever, well, okay, we're going to give a list to make it public of all the contributors. And in fact, if you give this amount of money, well, you're going to be in this list, and you might even get a plaque, and your name is going to be in that kind of type. And if you give even more money, then guess what? You're going to be in a bigger list with bolder print and bigger type and a more prominent place on the wall. And so, you know, we just kind of have that concept and we cater to all of that. And it just amazes me how many people who would affirm themselves to be Christians never seem to give any thought to the fact that there's something discordant about that and what Jesus is talking about here. And I'm not trying to set some kind of human judgment up and put myself up above, you know, as the ultimate judge of all those kind of things. But what I am trying to get people to do is just think about it. I don't think we think about it. Let me tell you what I think we tend to do with this passage. We just apply it to the Sunday contribution. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Make sure that, you know, the church doesn't broadcast how much each person gives. You know, we've even had some issues like that among brethren in years past. You know, make sure all that's kept secret because Jesus said, make sure your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. And that's proper. That's good. But may I say to you, Jesus is addressing this principle as a very broad kind of principle for almsgiving. Any kind of giving. He's not just talking here about Sunday contribution at church. He's talking about this whole concept of as you are giving to other people, don't make it such that, well, you want other people to know that you've done such and such so you can feel this sense of pride about yourself and have the accolades of other people and have the pat on the back. That's the way people in the world think, Jesus says. And he says to his disciples, that's not the way it needs to be with you. And I wonder if we give enough attention to that. You know, if we're going to be the kind of disciples that Jesus talks about here, then we need to make sure we're not seeking the praise of men. And the only person whose praise really matters to us is God's. And as long as God knows about it, that's sufficient. And I would suggest to you, and I'm talking to myself here when I say all this, please believe me, I would suggest to all of us that until we really have that attitude that says, it only matters to me that God knows about this, and I really just assume nobody else even know what I'm doing. Until we really have that attitude, then we're really not understanding what being a disciple of Jesus really means here. And what, as he says in these passages that we've looked at, what it really means to be a son of God and really act like the Father. So I hope we can think about that. I'll tell you something else we need to think about. If we're going to be a proper giver, we need to give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. And this is a little bit hard to do sometimes, isn't it? You know, the Apostle Paul addresses this, of course, in that classic passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He's talking about that Jerusalem collection. We've had occasion to mention that recently in our auditorium Bible class and our sermon this morning. This collection of funds, these Gentile Christians of Macedonia and Achaia were collecting for the benefit of those needy Jewish saints in Jerusalem and Judea. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, the Apostle Paul makes this statement to the Corinthians. He says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." Again, Paul is talking about this principle Jesus discussed, that if we will be giving people, God is going to see to it that we're taken care of, that we're going to have everything we need in abundance. And I don't believe that what Paul is talking about in context is what some televangelists have sort of twisted this passage into supposedly meaning that, well, if you'll give so much to this ministry, then God's going to just fatten your wallet this corresponding degree and all that kind of prosperity gospel that is so common among many in our day. That's a complete perversion of all this. Ultimately, he's talking about God will supply us with abundance and give us those things we need in this life, but mainly abundantly in that world to come. That's ultimately where this abundance comes from. But he says the attitude we need to have is to be a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. And he talks here about the fact that the Corinthians tended to be showing some reticence about really fulfilling their commitment to give of these funds for those needy Jewish Christians in Judea. They're not as benevolent, apparently, as they really ought to be. And Paul's concerned about that. That's why he's raising this issue. And we talked this morning about the fact that sometimes, even though something is a gift, there is a certain sense in which the giver has an obligation to go ahead and give that gift. That's really what Paul says here and what he says to the says about this in Romans 15, the passage we looked at this morning, that these Gentiles had received the spiritual benefit from these Jews and therefore they needed to reciprocate with monetary benefit when these Jews were in need. There's a certain kind of obligation that is there. But yet Paul says, your attitude needs to be, even when it's something that, yeah, you know, I ought to do this, I ought to give of my means in this case, your attitude, as far as God is concerned, it ought to be, and you know what? I'm happy to be able to do that. In fact, I want to do this. Not begrudgingly, not that, well, I'm under obligation to do this, so I've got to give this gift, and so I just hate this fact. But no, to have an attitude of, I really want to be doing this. I love this photograph here. That's why I picked this. Because I think it's so funny when you look at two little kids, two little toddlers, and they're playing tug of war over some gift or some toy or something that both of them want. And that's kind of what that reminded me of when I saw this. Now, maybe little Johnny here, maybe he's got a smile on his face like he's saying, oh, little Janie, I want you to have this present. You know, okay, maybe that's what little Johnny is doing, but I kind of doubt it. And I really think little Janie is saying, okay, I want that nice colored package. And I think little Johnny's going, hey, that's mine. I want that. And so they're both playing tug of war. That's what I think probably is the case, because that's kind of what little children do. And that's kind of what big children do from time to time, too, isn't it? We kind of don't want to let go of what's ours. And maybe we finally, out of compulsion, just, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. But it's not cheerful. And it's begrudging. And he says, that kind of attitude, that's not what God loves. What God loves is the opposite. God loves a cheerful giver. Well, so let me kind of bring all this to a close, this lesson to a close, by asking this question. Okay, how do we be this kind of cheerful, proper giver? I think we have to remember what we talked about this morning. We have to be grateful and really keep in our minds all the gifts that we have received. And especially, I would suggest to us that if we will really keep in our minds those gifts that God has given to us, it will absolutely help us be so much more cheerful about going ahead and giving to other people. In fact, we will have an attitude of joy about the fact that I can be like God and demonstrate that same kind of benevolent attitude that God has extended to me by giving to somebody else and helping somebody else who is in need. And I can do it where I'm not seeking praise of men. In fact, nobody else knows. God's the only one that knows. And I feel good about that because it's God's praise that I'm concerned about and nothing else. And I'm not expecting anything in return. I'm just trying to be a giving person because I'm so grateful for the good gifts that I have received. And that's how we be this kind of giver, this proper kind of giver. That's how we can be that. So I hope that tonight we'll all think about that. And as I said this morning, at this time of year where gift giving is in everybody's mind, I think this is probably a good subject for us to think about. So we've talked this morning about receiving gifts properly and tonight about giving gifts properly. And I hope these things that we've said will be of some benefit to us. Thank you for listening to me tonight. I wonder if there's someone who needs to respond to the great gift that God has given by sending His Son. If there is someone here tonight who needs to make their life right with Jesus, we sure would love to help you do that. Will you let that be known when together we stand and sing this song of encouragement?